And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. Hope you're off to a great start for today. And, well, you're well into it now, of course, but I hope the day is going well for you. God bless each and every one of you. Thank you for praying for us, listening to us, and encouraging us, and thank you for your calls. Always enjoy those. I think I have the most brilliant listeners anywhere in radio, and this network does, you know what I mean, because I know you're all listeners to our network, and we really love you all and appreciate you, and thank you so much for everything you do to make this possible. You know, this is one of those days when, you know, where do you start? I mean, really, where do you start? There is so much stuff going on. Even as we speak, the impeachment trial in the U.S. Senate resumes, which even saying that makes me disgusted because there shouldn't be any such thing happening, but it's happening. And we can only pray that as soon as the presentations are made, which, by the way, the presentations that are being made on the president's side really are brilliant. They're well done, but it's because they have the truth on their side. That's the reason why they're so well done. They have the truth on their side. You know, it's easier to come across with a standard of excellence when what you are saying is true. When what you're saying are lies, it is very, very difficult for that to come across as credible and excellent and all of that. And I know that the mainstream media went crazy over Adam Schiff's shifty presentation. Oh, it was brilliant. It was emotional. Yeah, but it was all based on lies. Because, frankly, folks, I think one really has to say this, and I don't think this is name-calling. I really believe this is an accurate description. Adam Schiff is a liar. What else can you say when the man stands on the floor of Congress and describes an interaction between President Trump and President Zelensky of Ukraine that is categorically false, and only when called on it, did he say, oh, it was a parody. Well, you were on the floor of Congress dealing with the impeachment of a president, and you didn't say it was a parody. You didn't say, well, of course, I know this is tongue-in-cheek. I know this is an exaggeration, but I think this is in the spirit of what actually happened. No, he presented it as if it were a factual rendition of what happened. And only when the hue and cry complain, oh, no, you didn't get it. It was a parody. When you're lying, it's hard to meet a standard of excellence because it just doesn't work. You are flying in the face of reality, and it just doesn't work. But when you are telling the truth, it works. I mean, the president's team is just doing an excellent job of laying out the facts and pointing out, by the way, all the things that the pro-impeachment crowd are not saying, the things that they're leaving out of their presentations, which again, just goes to show that their intention is not to illuminate the truth. Their intention is to deceive people into doing something that's contrary to everything our Constitution represents. It's certainly contrary to everything this president is doing to help this country. It's about to start up. Well, look, I've got a number of things that I want to talk about, and one of them is George Soros. I want to talk a little bit about what exactly is going on with him. But I want to lay the predicate for that by first sharing with you something that's probably going to irritate you. In fact, I think I've got a couple of things to talk about today that you're going to probably find particularly irritating. And I don't get behind the microphone every day to irritate you. That's not my role. That's not my job. But sometimes the things that I have to share with you, they are disconcerting. They are disturbing. Irritating is probably too mild a word for what they actually do to us emotionally. But nevertheless, I think we need to hear things because here again, we need to know the truth. We need to know exactly where people are coming from and how they really feel because it helps us to understand better what we are up against and what is needed in order to defeat these anti-Christian, anti-American forces that are pro-Marxist and pro-socialist and pro-communist and anti pretty much everything that pertains to the Constitution and patriotism and love of God and love of country and all of that. So sometimes we simply have to put it out there. And then I hope I can come along and at least give you some hope for addressing the issue in a way that relieves some of the frustration that we might feel upon hearing some of the crazy things that these folks believe in and want to promote and promulgate throughout the entire country. And folks, I've said it before. I'll say it again. And every time I say this, other people who I'm talking to will say, you know what? That's exactly right. And it's this. I think we're dealing with a very much a cult-like mindset among leftists in this country. And I say that because of the denial of facts and truth, that doesn't matter. I say that because of the almost mesmerized, lockstep mindset. Everybody's got to say the same phrase. Everybody's got to repeat the same thing. Everybody's got to sound alike. Yeah, it really does bear the markings of a cult. And of course, anybody who contradicts you is persona non grata. They must be kicked out. They must be cast aside. They must be dealt with. And, you know, depending upon the cult, we know what happens to people who contradict the cult. And in many cases, those people end up the victims of a very, very aggressive attempt to intimidate them, and sometimes worse, into silence, into never, ever voicing any disagreement. So folks, the left really is like one gigantic cult that's grown up within our country. And of course, we know cults also always try to sweep children into the cult because they know children are the lifeblood, the future of the cult. They try to sweep children into it and indoctrinate them with the same lies. I mean, for example, one of the stories I'm going to get to in a little bit more detail, but I'll mention to you in a New York preschool, they're teaching them in preschool to pick their own gender, to in no way be hampered by your genetic or physiological characteristics. That doesn't matter. No. And look at this. Making villains out of any parent or anyone else who would suggest to a boy that he's a boy, or would suggest to a girl that she's a girl. You are a villain. They're telling the children, you have a right to pick your own gender, and nobody should deny you that right. I mean, folks, where else would you hear that kind of insane, convoluted thinking but in some kind of cult? That everybody else buys into, and anybody who doesn't, they're the crazy ones. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. Crime costs both victims and society a great deal, but the cost is much more than we realize. Professor Walter Williams documents the unappreciated crime costs that especially hit black residents in low-income neighborhoods. Thousands of black Americans are murdered each year in cities like Chicago, Baltimore, Detroit, St. Louis, and Philadelphia. He documents that in over 90% of the time, the perpetrator was also black. Crime also imposes a hefty tax on people in those neighborhoods who can least afford it. Residents must bear the time cost and other costs of having to shop outside of their neighborhoods. There are few supermarkets in high-crime, low-income neighborhoods, which are often referred to as food deserts. Delivery companies routinely leave packages on the doorstep of homes in low-crime neighborhoods. They wouldn't dare do that in high-crime neighborhoods. Taxi drivers fearing robberies in these dangerous neighborhoods often refuse to accept telephone calls for home pickups. You might wonder why black people in these areas often fail to report crime to law enforcement. First, many of them have a deep mistrust of police. Second, there is also the real fear of reprisals by black criminals. He calls it the stop snitching principle. Reporting a crime or criminal can have serious repercussions. Criminals often have little fear of being brought to justice. He reports that less than 1% of murderers are ever charged. Walter Williams concludes that many of the problems in the black community in previous decades were due to racial discrimination. He concludes that the problems today are due to high illegitimacy, family breakdown, and unsafe communities. That's why I believe that the best solutions must come from churches and faith-based organizations. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Take Kirby and the Point of View team with you on the go with the Point of View app. Search for Point of View Radio at the Apple or Google Play stores.
A Moment of Truth with Gary Bryden of the Association of Independent Methodists.
In 1973, Congress passed and President Nixon signed the Endangered Species Act. That law made it a crime to destroy the eggs of certain turtles and a few other creatures. Also in 1973, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that abortion of human babies was legal and was a protected right in the U.S. Constitution. As a result, the sea turtle population has increased, and 60-plus million human babies have lost their lives in their mother's womb through abortion. You can be fined and imprisoned for destroying a sea turtle egg, but you can pay a doctor to destroy your unborn baby. Where is the common sense and morality in that?
The Association of Independent Methodists, like-minded congregations doing together what can't be done separately. Visit AIM2020.com.
Brian Fisher here. Trump's legal team does a masterful job proving the Democrats have no case. CNN lets us know what they think of ordinary Americans like you and me. CNN also reveals who its main source of news is. It'll surprise you. A revealing peek into Joe Biden, the so-called man of the people, and Al Gore gets hysterical over global warming next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Well, folks, I said I had a couple of things that would irritate you. One of the things I have, I'm not going to have today because I just messed that up. I didn't do what I needed to do on that. But we will have it for you tomorrow. But in the meantime, there's plenty of other stuff to irritate you, okay? And I hope irritate. Like I said, that might be a mild word for this. But, you know, it just struck me as I was looking at an article about George Soros. You know, George Soros, of course, is a billionaire, and I don't know what his total net worth is today, but it's in the billions. I mean, it's in the billions, and of course, he is spending his money in the United States of America and all over the world. In his what he calls his Open Society Project, and exactly what that's supposed to mean, I don't know. I mean, that's a very neutral, generic name, but we know what underlies it. I mean, this man has got some really sick totalitarian views. And by the way, let me just say, for those who are monitoring the program, and get this out of the way immediately, criticism of George Soros has nothing to do with anti-Semitism. George Soros is a monster, and it has nothing to do with his being Jewish. He just happens to be And I doubt that he practices Judaism for that matter, but he just happens to be a monster who is Jewish. And you know, monsters come in all backgrounds. So when you criticize someone who happens to have a particular background, and the left immediately jumps to, oh, that you're an anti-Semitic. Well, first of all, the first time I heard that, I thought, I didn't know George Soros was Jewish. I had no idea. And by the way, and could care less. It has nothing to do with anything. Jesus was Jewish. So it has nothing to do with anything. It is not the man's Jewishness that is at issue. It is his thinking and the use of his money to implement very, very monstrously bad ideas. That's what's at issue. So let's just get that out of the way immediately, okay? Because you just get exasperated with the left playing these little identity politics games. You couldn't criticize President Obama. That's racist. No, he just happened to be a Marxist, socialist, communist with a small C, who happened to be black. It has nothing to do with it being black. It just has to do with the fact that he's off, you know. And by the way, there are people of all ethnic backgrounds who are off. It has nothing to do with their ethnic background. It has to do with their thought processes and what they are doing to the country. So George Soros has this new idea, and maybe it's an old idea for him, but one he's finally decided that he's going to implement. He wants to take his vast billions, and he wants to create what he calls the Open Society University Network. And he says this is going to be, quote, the most important and enduring project of my life. This man's 89 years old, and he is going to spend billions if necessary to create a worldwide open society university network. And you know what they're going to be teaching, of course. I mean, they're going to be teaching a bunch of communism and Marxism and socialism and telling everybody that America's racist and sexist and you know, I mean, basically just sowing the seeds of division and decay and degeneracy into our culture and anywhere else in the world he can get away with it. And by the way, you know, George Soros has claimed that the president is the ultimate narcissist. George Soros claiming that President Trump is the ultimate narcissist. You know, George Soros wrote a book called The Alchemy of Finance. And in that book, he said, when he was growing up, he fancied himself as some kind of God. He fancied himself as some kind of God. And you mean to tell me you're going to call the President of the United States a narcissist? You know, folks, I've never met a human being who was growing up thinking that they were a God. They're out there. George Soros is out there. But he's in no position to point a finger at anybody else as some kind of malignant narcissist when this guy admits that he, and I think he still does, think of himself as a God. So now he wants to create this university network all over the world to inculcate people with the ideas of George Soros. Because that's what it's really about. And by the way, the problems we're having in Virginia right now, George Soros is a major cause of the problems that we're having in Virginia. The assault on our Second Amendment rights, our First Amendment rights, the assault on the illustrious history of our country and seeking to undermine it and to destroy it, in effect. I mean, you know, you realize that some of these radicals covered the statue of the University of Virginia, which he founded, covered the statue of Thomas Jefferson, These guys up in the General Assembly in Virginia right now, that they love that. Because after all, Thomas Jefferson, you know, was a racist white guy. So these are the people who are running Virginia, and the money that has financed them, by and large, to do the destructive things that they're doing to our Commonwealth has come from George Soros, a significant portion of it. Say, well, a lot of it's come from Planned Parenthood, but look, George Soros gives to Planned Parenthood. He gives to every radical, leftist, subversive, traitorous, treasonous group he can get his hands on or get his money into, he's doing it. Now, the question that this brings up for me is that I've from time to time thought about but never really grappled with. And I began to grapple with it because I thought, you know, the man's wealthy beyond his wildest dreams, probably. And what is he getting out of this? And, you know, it hit me. It's very, very simple what he's getting out of it. He's getting the same thing out of it that all totalitarianists get out of what they do. Power. Power. In other words, it's not enough for him to have financial wherewithal to do whatever he wants to do. He wants power over people. And he's using his money as lifeblood to get control over the people who would actually run the open society. And by the way, translate that closed society to anybody who doesn't agree with me. The people who would run this so-called open society would be people who would be answerable to George Soros. And that's what he wants. I think he still fancies himself a god who wants to bestride the known world and dictate to everyone else. And he's using his billions to get it done. And this is the guy who is responsible for promoting some of the most heinous. I just shared with you, I guarantee you'll find his money rippling through these places where people are buying into some of the most heinous and despicable and disgusting ideas that you would ever want to find anywhere on earth. And he's trying to insinuate these ideas not only into our country, but into our children. Into our children. Say, well, can you trace that directly to George Soros? Folks, money is fungible. And George Soros is giving money all over the place, but it always goes in one direction. Far left groups. And you realize he has a network where he gives money to groups that give money to other groups. In other words, it's very, very difficult to trace where the money from George Soros goes because it goes several layers down from where he initially gives it. So he gives money to his Open Society Foundation, but they spread billions of dollars around our country and around the world. And I think it's all about him and his desire for power. And of course, all the people who on the left who want power over everything and everybody are happy to be in league with a man who shares their wicked ambition. And I think that's where that is really coming from, folks. And so here in Virginia and all over the country, you can find his money like infected, like a viral infection coursing through the political bloodstream of the nation, like a serpentine a predator just coursing through the bloodstream of the nation, gobbling up every ounce of decency and honor and morality and faith and family and gobbling up every institution and every ideal and value that upholds this great nation. Yes, the serpent is in our Eden, and we're going to have to kick him out. Back in a moment.
It's my turn. Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Words of Jesus from the 18th chapter of Matthew. Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. I want to share a story with you that happened to me many, many years ago. The children were young then. The day had been one of those rough ones. You know what I mean, for all of us have them. It seems like everything had gone wrong from the moment that I'd gotten up. I'd been on edge most of the day and had been in a mood that even I didn't like myself in. Then, to add to the woes of the day, it seemed like my son had purposely been doing everything he shouldn't have been doing. I had been real grouchy with him, had taken very little time to understand him or help him. It just seemed like he was constantly in the way all that day. Why is it we all have days like that? I'm not completely certain as to the why, but I have some ideas. One is that we get in too big a hurry. Perhaps this is the biggest fault of our jet-set day. We live in too big a rush. Sometimes we meet ourselves coming back. We think that our much-doing and fast pace means good living. And I think we're wrong about that. Often we need to be still and know. Then another reason why we have days when everything goes wrong is because we don't take one thing at a time. We get a half dozen things going, projects, you know, any one of which we should be doing by itself. And then they all come at us at one time, and the result is tension. Still another reason for days when everything seems to go wrong is that we forget the eternal presence of the gentle Galilean carpenter. We try to tackle all our problems, face all our situations, do all our duties alone. And life just wasn't designed to be run that way. We're partners, not proprietors. And we need to remember that we're working with him. How often we need to talk things over with our silent partner. Well, the day came to a close, as they all do. And after the children had their baths, it was time for our family prayers. I must admit, I wasn't in the mood to say my prayers. And had it not been from sheer habit and concern for the children, I would not have knelt down beside the bed that night. But for some reason, I can't recall now, the girls in the family didn't say their prayers with us that night. It was just the two of us. So I let my son say his prayer first, and then I intended to say a quick one and call it quits. You know, get it over. Well, he began in the usual manner, thanking God for several things. And then it happened, his tone of voice changed, and in his final petition, with a voice so sincere I thought he was going to cry, he said, "And, dear God, make me a better little boy. Amen." Well, I was stunned and shocked and humbled and ashamed. And I had only one petition, and it came from the heart. "Dear God, make me a better father. Amen." The carpenter once said those who enter his kingdom would have to come as a small child. I understand a little better now what he meant by that.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Well, I said this, some of this stuff would be irritating, and George Soros is enough to irritate anybody, and that's probably the understatement of the year. This whole Trump impeachment debacle, folks, I just have to call it an abomination, because to me it is an abomination to our Constitution, an abomination to our way of life, an abomination to freely held elections. And as far as I'm concerned, it's an abomination to God, because it's based on lies, and Satan is the father of lies. So therefore, this whole impeachment process is the work of Satan. But look. I told you about this New York City school that's teaching children to pick their own genders. It's PS 58, the Carroll School in Brooklyn. And it's announced a new curriculum for, get this, 3- and 4-year-olds. And guess what it's based on? Are you ready for this, folks? It's based on the 13 principles of the Movement for Black Lives. And the classes will be taught as part of the Black Lives Matter Week of Action. And folks, let me just say for the record, I have said repeatedly, Black Lives Matter has nothing to do with black lives. It has to do with Marxism and socialism and communism and homosexuality and transgenderism. They just use black lives as a cloak for this Marxist agenda that they have. If you looked at the original website, they've changed it up a bit because I think they understood that people would look at that and go, well, what's this got to do with black lives? Even people who might be somewhat sympathetic to their cause. We're looking, wait a minute, I don't see anything here about black lives. Well, this continues to make the point. They've got an activity book that they're passing around to the schools. Not to mention the fact that it's racist, because all lives matter. Yes, that's right. I said it and I mean it. Black lives matter. All lives matter. And that's what we ought to be focusing on in our country. And if they really cared about black lives, they would care about abortion. The fact that some 400,000 black babies are murdered every year in the Planned Parenthood genocidal abortion industry. They would care about the black-on-black crime that is stealing the lives of thousands of young men. Police aren't doing that. Police are not doing that. It is black-on-black crime that's doing that, and they won't touch that. So it's not about Black Lives Matter. It's about an agenda and using race to divide people and to further a Marxist agenda that they have in mind. So I have no sympathy for it whatsoever. None. Not a single iota. But their 13 building principles, which they're teaching to children, okay? Here again, what's Black Lives Matter got to do with transgenderism? But here's one of their principles. We make space for transgender people to participate and lead. We know that cisgender, not trans people in our society, have privilege. Oh, did you know that? If you're not transgender, did you know that you have privilege? You probably never thought of it that way, but wow, that's not fair. You're not transgender, you have privilege. And we quote, and going on, says, and we want to uplift trans people, especially black trans women who often experience violence. So it's not enough to be trans. You got to be black trans. And not enough to be black trans. You got to be a black trans woman. Folks, these people are these people are stark raving mad. They really are. And they everything that they stand for is so inimical to a healthy, vibrant, unified, culturally hegemonous society. Homogeneous, forgive me, folks. Wow. Homogeneous society. And then here's another principle, queer affirming. We don't assume anyone's sexuality. Everyone has the right to say for themselves how they identify. Our community affirms, celebrates queer people. I guarantee you what? I guarantee this. They won't affirm and celebrate me because I'm heterosexual, I'm conservative, I'm Christian, I'm black, I'm married with children, and proud of all of it. I guarantee you they're not going to be celebrating me. So when they say, we celebrate all people. No, we affirm all different. No, they don't. No, they don't. They lie. It's a lie. And then they say, we are guided by the fact that all black lives matter, no matter a person's sexuality, gender, economic status, ability, disability, religious beliefs or disbeliefs, immigration status, or where they live. And that's another lie, because they don't believe that either. And so the folks, this is the curriculum that they're teaching in our schools. Of course, thank God, most people across the country would have better sense than indoctrinate their children with this garbage. By the way, folks, forgive me, I've gotten beyond myself. The number is 888-589-8840. I wanted to get this out there. 888-589-8840. I'll take your calls just as quickly as they come in. Then they say, quote, this is what teacher Rosie Clark sent an email to parents in mid-January describing each of these 13 points. And here's one of the things she said to them. Everybody has the right to choose their own gender by listening to their own heart and mind. Everyone gets to choose if they are a boy or a girl or both or neither or something else. And no one gets to choose for them. And no one gets to choose for them. I mean, folks, you know what? You almost have to be sick to be mentally ill to even understand that or to think you understand it. It's like two people who are both psychotic and feeding off each other. Ooh, do you see that giant pink elephant over there across the street? And the other one says, yes, I see it. You know? And same people go, no, there's no gigantic pink elephant across the street. You know, but these folks, everybody has the right to choose their own gender. Everyone gets to choose if they're a boy or a girl or both or neither or something else. And no one gets to choose for... Lord, have mercy on us. Let's go to the calls. Whoa. Let's see. Well, you know what? Hold on. Let me let you all get processed in, and I'll come right to you. Oh, my goodness gracious. Lord, help us. But here again, folks, like I said, irritating? Yeah. I'd say it's a little irritating to think that people are saying this stuff to children. Let's go to Joshua in Louisiana. Joshua, you're on. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi, Joshua.
How you doing, Bishop? Yeah, I hear you talking about the schools and the curriculum for the kids that they're trying to enforce on our children and stuff like that, which I don't have kids, but the real attack is against God. You know how the Bible say, train up your child when he's young. Mm-hmm. So if they get old, they won't depart. And if they do, they have something to return to. So if they can get the children and get their minds while they're young, you know, they training up the next generation. They want the school to do it, and the parents is allowing the school and the system to raise their children, and then we're going to have a whole another generation of people that, like we fighting now in the office right now.
Joshua, let me just ask you. Let's make this personal for a second, though. If you did have children and a teacher told your child, say you had a little boy and the teacher told your child, your father can't tell you whether you're a boy or not. You get to choose that. You might be a girl or you might be something in between or you might be neither one. You have a right to decide that for yourself. How would you respond to that?
Oh, man, I would. They would probably have to lock me up. Because I would go over there and I would explain. I would use the Bible to describe it. And I, for one, I know they wouldn't allow it. But for the simple fact that when the Lord said that he knew you while you was in the womb, you understand? He knew the Lord designed what sex, which you was going to be when you was going to be born. All this was predestined.
Amen. And made you male or female. I mean, what? And folks, think about this. But thanks for the call, Joshua. What? Think about this. You could be one or the other or both or neither or something in between. What in the world is all that? Stand by. We'll come right back to your calls in a moment.
Well, we know that even biblically how important grandparents are to their grandchildren. We see that modeled even in the Bible.
Here's Chris Howard on Focus on the Family Minute.
But some specific things that we can do in today's world is because we can text them and we can send scriptures. And it's just keeping that before them that you depend on God to help them with their daily life. And of course, inviting them. When your kids are little, the little ones you can invite to whatever your church has, vacation Bible school, summer camps, things like that, making sure that's available for your grandchildren. And most parents are happy with that you'll help in any way. So just keeping that before them, keeping your faith before them, letting them know the legacy of your faith. We tell that to our kids quite often about how their great-grandfather, what he did, what he started, and how it's still going on, so that they're aware of that.
You're a model of faith for your grandchild. More at FamilyMinute.org.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
It was a bad move. Target invited men who say they feel like women into restrooms and changing areas designated for women. They probably guessed other retailers would follow their lead, but they were wrong. Others saw that bandwagon was headed in the wrong direction. We're not ready to sacrifice the safety of women and children for the sake of progressive bathroom policies. Invite Target to make a better move. Sign the Boycott Target Pledge at afa.net.
I'm a widow. I've worked for a bank for 31 years, and I've been retired now for 10 years.
Myrtle Norris comments on her experience with the AFA Foundation.
I had a lot of financial questions, and Dan Celia was, he answered my questions, and he helped me with a lot of decisions that I made. And then the charitable gift came up, and he explained that to me. I decided to get it, and I'm sure glad I did, because I know now that money is in a place that I know God wants it to be, and also get my monthly income from it. I believe in the AFA and what they're doing, because they're working for us.
Learn how the AFA Foundation can work for you. You can contact the AFA Foundation through Facebook, on our website, afafoundation.net, or call us at 800-326-4543, extension 345. Thank you for supporting the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
The number is 888-589-8840. And folks, when I call these people totalitarianists and communists, look at the similarity. You know, one of the characteristics of communists when they take over a country is they absolutely do not allow anyone to have any opinion that disagrees. And if you do and you express it, you are going into a gulag, a labor camp, a re-education situation, which is not going to be pleasant, separated from your family and loved ones and friends, and you might even be killed. And we see the same mindset with these leftists in our country today. How dare you as a parent teach your child he can be a boy or a girl? Who do you think you are? We've told you that they can't be a boy or a girl unless and until they choose their identity, and they might be something in between, or they might be neither one, or they might be a combination of the two. And you mean to tell me you as a parent think you can determine that? No, you can't. We, the elites, will tell you what your child is. I mean, folks, this stuff is, I mean, it brings up some chilling things that have happened in history where these totalitarian leaders take children over and separate them from their parents and have them, basically informing on their parents and betraying their parents, and in order to be in the good graces of a dear leader, if you think of North Korea, or whatever the name might be for whatever totalitarian leader there might be. But folks, this stuff is just, I mean, it is truly remarkable that we've come to a place where we have people in our country who think that they can impose these ideas on the rest of us, and that America's just going to sit up and take it, because we shouldn't. Let's come right back to the lines. Let's go to Tom in Arkansas. Tom, welcome. Tom, you're on.
Bishop, I got a question for you. How do they expect to propagate their cause by killing off their own children? Does that not even make the slightest sense to me?
Yeah, and they can't. Of course, the homosexuals can't have children. Now, they get on me every time I say that, but they can't. They have to go through some sort of technological machinations in order to try to do that, and it's always really bizarre what they go through. But you're right. I mean, look, it's unnatural. The whole thing is unnatural, so it shouldn't surprise us that they do the unnatural thing, which is parents do what? They protect their children. They guard their children. They want their children to live and be well. We got a group of people who think killing their children is one of the highest things they can do. I mean, it's just, you're right. It's bizarre. Were you going to ask me about this word queer?
Yes, I was going to say. Now, so what they want to make queer to be a normalized sexuality, correct?
That's right. That's what they. All right. I just read you the curriculum.
If you look up the definition of queer, what's the very first thing? Something that is unnatural or illogical. And that's the first definition. Then you go down by three. The third one, it comes up as referring to sexuality, but by definition, the word queer means odd.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know. It makes no sense to me.
It never will make sense, Tom. But listen, thanks for the call. And you're absolutely right. I mean, queer used to be offensive, but they have now embraced it as a term of art. And so I don't know whether normal people are allowed to speak of homosexuals as queer, or it's just something that they can do among themselves, but they certainly do throw the word around. Of course, changing vocabulary is one of the things that they've done very masterfully. I mean, gay used to mean happy, carefree. Now it means homosexual. This is something they have really perverted. Listen, their perverse lifestyles reflect their perverse language reflects their perverse lifestyles. I think that's a fair statement. Let's go to Michael in Alabama. Michael, welcome.
Hello?
Hi, Michael.
Oh, hello. Listen, because this program is not going to last much longer, I can wait until tomorrow and call earlier. I just wanted to remind people the original definition of the term Black Lives Matter after journalist who was stopped by a policeman in front of his house, black journalist in front of his house in 2009, someplace Missouri, Franklin, Missouri, Ferdinand, Missouri, whatever it was called, Ferguson, Missouri in 2014, events like those, because a lot of, I'm concerned, a lot of white conservatives who denounce the term Black Lives Matter at political rallies, may have forgotten the original call. I'm not standing up for those who have this homosexual agenda materials in public schools. I'm standing up for black policemen and Hispanic policemen in the inner cities whose lives are on the line each day, mothers and dads who lost a teenage child to a rookie white cop who acted out of fear and shot from the hip.
All right, Michael, I've got it. You're kind of all over the place a little bit there, Michael, because, look, nobody wants to see an innocent person hurt or harmed. And I think first among those people who don't want to see that happen are police officers. The Ferguson situation was built on lies. Michael Brown was not a victim. Michael Brown was an aggressor against a police officer, and there were black witnesses who testified to the fact that there was never any hands up, don't shoot nonsense. And that was the birth of the Black Lives Matter movement. It was based on the Michael Johnson incident, Michael Brown incident, which had absolutely nothing to do with a police officer misbehaving. That police officer lost his career because he became a target of those who tried to turn this into some sort of civil rights violation, and it was not. If Black Lives Matter was really concerned about black lives, they'd be concerned about abortion. They'd be concerned about the murders that are taking place in the inner city all over this country. And look, and if they really had a balanced approach to that, I might even say, you know what? They've got a point. But they have no point because they've got it imbued with all this homosexuality, transgenderism, Marxism, socialist nonsense that has nothing to do with saving the lives of black people. And you're right. They don't care about the lives of black cops, Hispanic cops. They only care about the lives of any person who they think has been killed by a police officer, because they can turn that into political cannon fodder to help move people in a far leftist direction. So I'm a black conservative, and I denounce Black Lives Matter. All lives matter. And we ought to all conduct ourselves that way. And I tell you, most police officers overwhelmingly think that way and are brokenhearted anytime they have to take somebody's life, even when it's justified. They don't like it. They don't enjoy it. They don't revel in it. It's a sad but sometimes necessary part of the job. But thanks for the call anyway, Michael. Let's go to James in Arkansas. James, welcome.
So, appreciate you very much. I just wanted to, first of all, I think the reason we can't do anything about George Soros is because that he is a Jew, but we need to know what kind of Jew he is.
Wait. You say we can't do anything about him because he is a Jew? what does that mean, James?
That's why they're not doing anything about him.
Okay, James, we're done. I'm moving on. I don't think that has anything to do with it. I think they're not doing anything about it.
James,
I'm moving on to the next person. But thanks for the call. I think they're not doing anything about him because they agree with him ideologically. I don't think it would matter if he's black or Irish or Italian. I don't think it would mean anything as long as he is touting their line. As long as the left is happy with what he's doing, they're going to protect him and defend him. I don't think it has anything to do with being Jewish. But thanks for the call anyway, James. Let's go to Fran in Ohio. Hi, Fran. Okay, did I lose Fran? Okay, let's go to Dana in Virginia. Dana, welcome. Dana, are you there?
Oh, yes, sir. I was calling to say thank you for taking my call, and I appreciate your service and all you do on a regular basis.
Thank you.
And also, I wanted to bring up about George Soros. Did you ever see the full documentary on the end game with George Soros, Clinton's, Henry Kissinger, the Bushes? It was all about more of a secret society that chose the next president. They'd meet every 4 years.
No, I haven't seen The Endgame.
You ought to watch it because it talks about it. Actually, Obama was handpicked by Henry Kissinger to be the next president at his time. And,
okay, all right. All right, Dana. Let me try to get one more call in. I'm always a little bit skeptical about conspiracy theories, but I will look up The Endgame and see what it's all about, Dana. Thank you for the call. And let's go to Mary in Arkansas. Mary, welcome.
Welcome to you. I'm glad you're on. I've got two things. Well, three. I wish you'd run for president, but that's another story.
Thank you, Mary. Don't let my wife hear you say that.
Give me your phone number and I'll call her. I'll even campaign for you.
Thank you, Mary. I got one vote for president. Thank you.
No, I can get more than that. But you're talking about these gays and lesbians. There's no such thing. Like another caller said, God made us in his image. Mm-hmm. So there's no other way of looking at it.
Amen. And Mary, go ahead. Real quick, Mary. What else?
No. I'll leave the other for another day because I listen to you all time, so I'll catch you another time you get somebody a chance.
Thank you, dear. I appreciate that. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us. Looks like we stirred up a hornet's nest and got some interesting comments there. But listen, we're going to keep plugging away at this because you know what I'm fighting for? Not Black Lives Matter, White Lives Matter, or Hispanic Lives Matter, but all lives matter. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And we cannot be defeated if we will not quit because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.